We are live.
Coaches. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, they can't hold a flame against you, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, ay. Blow the whistle, got the game, it ain't no issue, yeah. Blowing the whistle, I had enough with you, the championship, it is gone. Ain't listen to you, I can't give it to you, cause you don't know what I've been on. This is the Coaches Podcast.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome into the Fantasy Coaches Podcast. I am your host, as always, guys, Coach Steve. Please pay no attention to the intro that you just saw in there. As we are not doing wide receivers and tight ends tonight, we are doing running backs and quarterbacks from the NFL draft. We are breaking down fantasy reactions to all the picks and trying to get you ready for your rookie drafts that many of you might have already started, or some of you are waiting like some normal people out there do. Before we get into that, let's get introduced to the crew today, guys. Of course, we have Coach Tyler on the biz. What's going on, Coach Tyler?
What's up, guys? We got some good landing spots. I'm excited for it.
Yes, yes, we do. And of course, we have our newest member of our team here, Coach Steve. We have two Coach Steves now. What is going on, Steve?
How are you, man? Yeah, happy to be here. First official co-hosting spot. Been on the show a few times as a guest, but the role has changed. Should be interesting.
Yes.
I'm looking forward to it. It was a great draft.
Oh, it was a fantastic draft. A lot of fun. Except for the running backs. I hate it where the running backs go. But we will talk about that here shortly, guys. So like I said, it's going to be me, Tyler, and Steve here for most of the summer. And, you know, we're going to give you guys great fantasy advice, the three of us combined. But we are going to start here with quarterbacks and running backs from the NFL draft. Just the rookies. We're not going to get into the veterans. We'll get into that another episode. And we'll go from there. So let's start here from the top. All right, starting with the round one quarterbacks here, part one. Obviously, we're going to talk about the big three here first. Caleb Williams goes 101 to the Chicago Bears. Jaden Daniels goes 102 to the Washington Commanders. And Drake May goes 103 to the New England Patriots. Now, Steve, since you are our newest member of the team here, I'll let you go first on this one here. Break them down. You know, anything you want to say about this top three picks here, whether you liked anyone's pick, whether someone should have went before somebody else, and we'll go from there.
You know, this draft went like super straightforward for the most part, except for pick eight, which we'll get to with the Falcons. But that, I mean, besides that pick, everything went, you know, you could argue that maybe Drake, you know, for me, Drake May isn't the third best, you know, when we talk about a prospect as an NFL quarterback and from fantasy, I would say he's to me not the third best. But those top two, you know, that's how it should be. Caleb Williams is coming into the best situation he can. I mean, I don't know if there's ever been one better for any quarterback, rookie or number one overall. He's going to be set up for success. It's going to be hard for Caleb Williams to fail. And it would be, you know, a pretty epic bust if that happened. You know, this isn't Tim Couch. This isn't, you know, Jameis Winston even. I mean, this is actually a legitimate prospect that we've known about for years. And then with Jaden Daniels, I mean, you love the rushing upside. I think it's going to be fun in Washington. I know when I was on the show a couple months ago, we kind of talked about Brian Robinson and that aspect of the Washington offense, but now they're even more fun. I think for fantasy, you could argue that he could finish ahead of Caleb Williams, maybe this year just because of the rushing. I think that both of these top two are going to be very valuable for fantasy for years to come.
I like it. I like it. Coach Tyler, anything you want to say overall about these three top three prospects or now draftees?
Yeah. You know, obviously loved all three of these guys as prospects. Everyone in the world knew that Caleb Williams was going to go number one. I think even the Bears said that they knew it from the second the offseason ended. And, you know, he's walking into arguably the best setup for a number one overall quarterback. There's one guy who would rival that we'll talk about, I think, on the next slide. But he's walking into a fantastic situation, right? The coaching, kind of questionable. We could talk about that. But he's walking into an offense that has Keenan Allen and DJ Moore and Cole Kmet and the newly added Rome Odunze, and they picked up DeAndre Swift, and they have a couple fairly decent running backs in that running back room. There's no real stars in there, but, you know, Khalil Herbert, Roshan Johnson could turn into something. Like, that offense is poised to be a, you know, honestly, top 10 offense if Caleb Williams is everything he's supposed to be, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think we're going to see a big shift into a larger passing game just because they have all those weapons. And, you know, you want to keep everyone's plate full and you want to keep everyone happy. And so you stick your quarterback out there who's supposed to be this generational talent and supposedly the next Patrick Mahomes with how he does all his improv, and you let him throw, right? He's going 101 just because he's been that solidified guy. I've seen a lot of people arguing the second after Caleb and Marv go, though, Jaden Daniels is the guy to have in fantasy, right? That rushing upside, he's walking into a pretty good situation still. You know, Terry McLaurin, Brian Robinson, they picked up Ben Sinnott, who, as we talked about, was one of my guys. They have Jahan Dotson there. They have a fairly weaponized offense that just needed a good quarterback to handle it, right? And one of the more underrated moves of the offseason, I know I'm a Texas Tech guy, but Cliff Kingsbury is their new offensive coordinator, right? And what is Cliff Kingsbury known for? The air raid offense, right? You're going to spread guys out. You're going to make plays happen. And that's exactly what Jaden Daniels can thrive in, right? You're going to spread the offense out. If he needs to get out of the pocket and run, he can run. If not, he's got great weapons to catch the ball. And that rushing upside almost puts him – it puts him almost neck and neck with Caleb Williams. And so I really like Jaden Daniels. I love the landing spot. Drake May, he's a guy that – I want to see the Patriots add more to him. One of my best friends is a Patriots fan, and we were talking the other night about – it was right after they had picked Drake May. And he said that one thing he has to keep reminding himself is this is not the same Patriots that we've known for the last 20 years, right? This isn't the Bill Belichick Patriots, right? We've got a new head coach, new GM coming in, and it's going to look a little bit different, right? And so – while it's not the greatest landing spot for a rookie to make an immediate impact, there is the opportunity for the Patriots to go out, sign some players throughout even the end of this free agency cycle into next year to go crazy in the draft. There's a lot of good receivers in the draft next year too, and to build around Drake May. It's not going to be sort of bottom of the barrel talent and hope that he can fish himself out of it. So I really like the top three. May doesn't overly excite me in terms of what he can do in his rookie year, and I think that there's going to be some struggles and he's going to get moved down rankings and almost devalued because of that. But if you can see the blueprint that the Patriots are creating around him, then he has a chance to be extremely successful with the new age New England Patriots.
Yeah, no, definitely a great breakdown there, guys. Yeah, Caleb Williams was pretty an obvious pick there. I mean, I don't think anyone had anything different going to happen with the Bears. I didn't think the Bears would make any crazy moves like that. It was Caleb Williams all the time. You know, you're looking at the 101 in most Superflex leagues at this point. Based on the leagues I've done, I've already in like six or seven started. You know, he is basically the 101 in most situations there. You're not going to be able to get him if you have the 103, 104, or anything like that. He's going in the top two picks. Jaden Daniels, he's going to be fun. He's going to be exciting and electric. You know, hopefully he can kind of build on his passing game there a little bit. But the kid's going to make great strides as a rookie for fantasy football. You know, like I said, he's got the rushing. He's got a pretty good weapon core around him. Now, everyone talks about Caleb Williams. Jaden Daniels has a pretty solid core around him as well. So, you know, he is going to be able to try to make noise as a rookie as well. I don't think Marcus Mariota is going to be keeping him off the field, if at all, at this point. And, again, he's someone that's going in the top four picks. Haven't seen him left the top four picks in the draft. So if you want Jaden Daniels, you're going to have to trade up into that top four to get him. Again, Drake May is a wild card, obviously. Tremendous upside. Obviously some glaring issues with his game overall that obviously, you know, didn't put him in the top two conversation, or it did, but obviously Washington went a different direction here. You know, I think the Patriots will take their time with May. They might not rush him on the field right away. So if you're looking for May to contribute week one, week two, it might take half the season before he really gets on the field. Jacoby presents a pretty good backup overall that can help an offense just kind of get through the motions there. But May is someone, if you really want him for a long-term project that could have big upside, like we've talked about with guys in the Josh Allens, the Justin Herberts, you know, he's going in a very big range of outcomes. You're looking at the 105, 6, 7, 8. I've seen him go as late as 109. So you can get Drake May in those middle rounds if you're looking to, in those rookie drafts. But these top three guys, tremendous upside to their game there. So it's pretty much didn't expect anything different there to happen in the top four picks here. All right, over to the next set of quarterbacks here, the part two of round one quarterbacks here. And this is where things get more interesting for a lot of people here, because a lot of people have questions about these guys here at this point. Well, so we'll go one by one this time instead of having it all open all together. So the next quarterback off the board, again, I did this out of order, but we're not going to do that. Next quarterback off the board was a big shocker at the 108 pick, the Atlanta Falcons here, when they went with Michael Penix Jr. here. Obviously, this was a major shocker for anyone in the NFL draft, because obviously we know that Kirk Cousins just signed there this offseason for the massive contract here. Tyler, you know, how do you feel about this pick here? Is there any kind of glimpse or hope for this pick here?
Yeah, there's definitely hope. It's going to be a long time waiting hope, but if you believe in Penix and who he is, and you can get past, really, you know, he was one of the older quarterbacks coming into this draft, and he's obviously going to sit, right? Unless Kirk isn't fully ready to come back from that Achilles, or unless Kirk goes down again. But Michael Penix Jr. was obviously one of the higher rated quarterbacks in the draft. I personally thought that he was going to either be a trade up to and or fall down to Minnesota at 11. Just kind of the style of offense that they would want to run and their lack of quarter or their lack of running backs and running game right now. But Atlanta is a great landing spot. Right, it's not great for the immediate future, but if we look dynasty, Kirk Cousins isn't a young guy, right? And he's coming off of a major injury. But you look at that, you know, they want to flaunt the four-year, $180 million contract. I think it's $90 million of the $100 million guaranteed comes in the first 2 years. So if Kirk is getting too old, if he's not producing like they want him to, they've got the backup plan. Right. And I heard, I think it's Fontenot is their GM now. And he was saying, you know, we're not expecting to be early in the first round in the coming years because they've signed Kirk. Right. And you've got a seasoned veteran who does what he does extremely well. He's got a great passing volume that we've seen when he was with Minnesota. And I think he's the perfect guy for Penix to learn from coming into the league, right? And we always want to associate draft capital with, all right, they're going to be immediate starters. But Penix is a guy, if he's falling in your draft a little bit and you scoop him up and you could, you know that you can hold a roster spot for him for the next 2-3 years and kind of wait on it, that's still at least 2 years in that rookie contract with a team that will hopefully be re-signing their Drake Londons and Kyle Pitts's and Bijan Robinson's and keeping that core of fantastic athletes around them. Right. It's obviously not gorgeous for the immediate, but if you can hold him and you believe in him, he's a guy that I would say to take your shot on. He's not a guy I would overly reach for. You are in the perfect position to kind of trade back from where you are if you know he's going to tumble down your rookie drafts. But you trade back, you get your guy, and you add some draft capital. I don't feel like that's a bad situation for your team long term.
Yeah, no, I like that. Steve, how do you feel about Michael Penix Jr. here? You know, is he someone you're going to target at all in rookie drafts?
I like Tyler's breakdown because, Tyler, you came from a perspective of the positive where everyone's going negative on it, right? I mean, and I was going to, and I think I still will. But at the same time, right, Tyler, like, if he falls in drafts, which he's probably going to now, super flex, he's still a quarterback. He still has that first-round pedigree, so he's not going to fall that far. But, like, a late second – or maybe even early third. I don't know if it's realistic in a super flex he'll make it to the third. It could be worth it. Where you have to be, you know, if you have a late second, you're probably a contender anyway, right? If you're just short on quarterbacks and you want that youth and the potential for a Jordan Love, right, or a Patrick Mahomes. I mean, this is what they're expecting. This is what the Falcons are expecting out of Michael Penix. And that's why we need to look at him through that lens, because he kind of has to be. If he's not, it really is a bad pick, really, any way you shape it. Now, there is the injury concern of Kirk Cousins. He could miss time. I mean, we don't know. There could be something with – there was that tampering thing that came out a few weeks ago. Like, I don't know if there's any weight to that, but maybe there's more than meets the eye. I think for fantasy purposes, if he slips to the back of the second and you really don't like the players there, like, I wouldn't be doing this because I really like a lot of the receivers. I think it's deep, even the back of the second, that I would prefer that. But I think it could be worth a shot.
Yeah, it's I think if you're, it's really interesting because there's definitely possibility that it's probably going to take a few years before he really gets on the field. But again, you don't know how well Kirk Cousins is going to recover from this Achilles injury. You know, there could be more issues as he gets back on the field and playing as a full-time starter. And then before you know it, this coming season, just as it's planned, Michael Penix Jr. gets on the field for you at some point. You know, right now he's going about the 20th play off the board. It's a late second round pick there. So if you're in a situation where you could get yourself a potential starter, like, again, a situation like Jordan Love a couple of years ago, that you can get a guy that if you're looking for a quarterback, knowing that you're not going to compete this year, but maybe the year after, at least the year after that, he's a great guy to go and target for your drafts. He's tremendous upside to his game. He just, fortunately, it's just a bad situation. It's not on him. But again, if he gets an opportunity, he will probably show up, and you're looking at a Falcons team that, if everything goes right, and besides the quarterback situation, you have a very prime team there that needs a quarterback, and Penix to do that for you. Steve, we'll go over to JJ McCarthy at the 110. Minnesota traded up one pick to get this guy. Obviously, big Michigan guy here. How do you feel about McCarthy now as a Viking?
I think it was a good pick. I think that he's going to be the starter day one. I don't think that Sam Darnold is going to win the job. The coaching staff wouldn't make this pick if they didn't want him to be the starter. And I think right now he's the better player. If Sam Darnold is a little bit better, it won't matter, in my opinion. Maybe for whatever reason, they might want to give him that edge or give him a chip on the shoulder. But I think day one, he's the starter. He's got Justin Jefferson. He's got Jordan Addison. There's a lot to like. Aaron Jones coming in, see how much he has left. Obviously, Ty Chandler is one of my favorites as far as, like, you know, handcuff running backs. So he's stepping into a good situation, and we'll see how he performs. I mean, you know, it's not, nothing is guaranteed, right? Even with all the weapons, it doesn't have to work. For me, he's not my number three. The guy that we haven't talked about yet is my number three. So, you know, for the Vikings, I think it made a lot of sense. And then Bo Nix made way more sense for Denver. So for fit, I really liked it for the Vikings.
I like it. Coach Tyler, where are you taking McCarthy in drafts? How high are you willing to take this guy if you're in need of a quarterback?
Yeah. McCarthy's still, gosh, he's coming off the board either as my third or fourth quarterback. He's just, you know, I talked about with Caleb, there's one guy who would challenge him for the best landing spot, and it's JJ McCarthy, right? Landing spot only, talent-wise, two totally different quarterbacks. But we saw, really, with Atlanta shocking the world as they did and shocking fantasy managers, they also shocked the Minnesota Vikings, right? In the same way that I thought Michael Penix was going to fall to the Vikings, I think the Vikings thought that Michael Penix was going to fall there. They're going to get their gunslinger, right? But they get JJ McCarthy. The landing spot is great. We have someone to throw to the receivers that we have there. We have someone to throw to our Justin Jeffersons and our Jordan Addisons and our TJ Hawkinson shares. So it boosts them up from where they previously were, you know, a couple weeks ago. But McCarthy's going to have to do something that he never had to do in college, and that's go win games on his own, right? We talked about him being at Michigan, you know, national champions, fantastic team. They just dominated just about every facet of the game. But their offense went through the run game. And we didn't have to see McCarthy pass a ton. And so there's, you know, the two sides of the coin. Is it because he wasn't capable, or are we just not seeing the whole story? And I think McCarthy is more than capable of being an NFL quarterback. He wouldn't have been not only traded up for, but taken top 10, top 11 if they didn't trade up in the NFL to go get him if he wasn't even slightly capable of doing that. He's not someone that excites me for fantasy just because we're going to have to see that trial run of can he go throw to win games? Because we do have a backfield that's not overly like overwhelming, right? Aaron Jones could be, you know, vintage Aaron Jones and come back and have a little bit of an older resurgence. Ty Chandler could step up and be the guy, but the run game is not what coordinators are going to worry about, right? They're going to worry about Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison and TJ Hawkinson and how to stop those guys. And so McCarthy is going to have to kind of put the team on his back. And it intrigues me from the fact of we know that he's going to have that volume. It's not going to be Michigan JJ McCarthy. But this is also a guy, you know, I kind of hate whenever people talk about this guy's a winner. I was watching stuff on quarterbacks today. And someone said that he's won since he became a starter on his varsity high school team. I think it was over 95% of the games that he started. Wow. So, you know, you want to talk about a winner. This guy knows how to win a football game, right? And yeah, he did benefit a lot from everything around him at Michigan. But he was still able to answer the call when he had to, right? We see those rollouts to Roman Wilson. We see him being able to place the ball. He doesn't have as much of a touch on the ball, right? He just kind of lasers them in there. And so there's going to be some growing pains with that, understanding that these linebackers in the NFL are a little bit more capable of taking those passes away than some Big Ten talent at linebacker. But he's in such a good landing spot that, and he's with a great offensive-minded coach in Kevin O'Connell, that he almost has to succeed, but it's going to look different than anything that we know him to do. So it's, can he step up to the call and be a throw first quarterback and not live on a run game? Right.
Well, I think you brought up a good point in that the Vikings are going to need to run the ball. Like if they cannot run the ball, it's going to be potentially problematic for McCarthy, and we'll find out real quick. And I think it would benefit Minnesota to do their best to have that running game. And, you know, that does start with the health of Aaron Jones. So if they can't run the ball, then you have a problem. And when we're talking about, you know, I thought you brought up a good point, Tyler, on Caleb Williams, is that they're going to throw the ball a lot more than they did with Justin Fields. They're going to just want him to throw. It's the best thing for Caleb Williams could have been C.J. Stroud, right? It was let him do his thing. You have the playmakers, just let CJ Stroud do his thing. And that worked. So I think that's going to work for Caleb Williams. They're not going to do that with JJ McCarthy. But I think there is one person on this list that the guy that we're going to talk to next that maybe he'll have a little bit more longer of a leash.
Yeah, no, I mean, McCarthy should have himself a pretty decent leash as well. I mean, they really don't have anyone else to go to. I mean, Sam Donald hasn't really shown us that he can be a guy that can play 16, 17 games of productive fantasy football or football, NFL football on the field. I mean, McCarthy, I could see he's probably going to be a week one starter. So it's going to get fantasy owners excited about a guy like that because you're starting quarterback. Let me get him right now on the team right now. He's going off the board right now as a cube, as the player nine off the board, player eight off the board right now. Again, if I'm a team that's kind of in the middle of the pack, I don't think J.J. McCarthy moves the needle for me. If I'm a team that, like, oh, I missed out on this championship last year, I just need a piece of two to get me over the hump. I don't think McCarthy's that kind of person that's going to help me. I'm better off trading away that pick and allowing someone else to take him on because it's not – he's got great leadership, but the gifted talent that he has is just not to that elite level, unfortunately. And maybe leadership beats out. Maybe it doesn't. And again, we've been all saying we'll find out real soon how that works out. But you're probably better off letting someone else take McCarthy, and then you growing and grabbing him as your QB2 this season. I think there's going to be some struggle pains early on, and he's probably going to be better off at the end as a QB3 at the end of the day, and not someone you consistently want to have in your starting lineup.
I think he'll have a long career. I think he will. I think he's not close to like somebody like Zach Wilson, right? Like he could be Derek Carr, or he could be better than Derek Carr, where he's actually has like a sustained career and is a legitimate quarterback. And if he has a career like that in Dynasty, there is that value. You want somebody who's going to be around and a starter for 10 years.
That's fair. I like that. All right. Over to our last player on this board here. Obviously, a couple picks after that. Obviously, we had six quarterbacks going the first 12 picks. Bo Nix lands with the Denver Broncos here. Coach Tyler, I'll let you start off here. You know, how do you feel about Nix in Denver?
I like Nix in Denver. I kind of agree with consensus that this was a little bit of a reach on him. You know, when we talked about quarterbacks, we talked about Nix, again, being one of those older quarterbacks. But one thing we saw from him was he consistently got better, right? Year after year, going from what was his time at Auburn to improving and improving and then going to Oregon and having the season that we just saw from him. I don't know what is going on in Denver, and I don't think anyone else does either. You know, Sean Payton, the legendary coach that helped Drew Brees, you know, we've seen him in his time without Drew Brees, and he almost looks like Belichick without Brady, right? And so the question kind of arises, you know, was it really Peyton or was it Brees with a little bit of Peyton added in there, right? And no disrespect to Sean Payton, but the more we've seen him work with different quarterbacks, the more it's starting to look like it's Drew Brees with a little bit of Sean Payton mixed in. So with Bo Nix, I'm very interested to see how he would develop there. You know, they're not in the best financial situation after the Russell Wilson debacle. So looking at adding future talent on top of the fact that, you know, Courtland Sutton has asked for a trade. We're trying to see Javonte Williams be healthy for really the first full time in his career. Is Greg Dulcich going to be the guy or not? You know, there's just a whole lot of questions surrounding this offense. And this is really what we usually see the number one overall quarterback go into, right? An offense that's – or an offense and a team that's not, you know, outstanding with how they are playing football, not outstanding offense, some question marks going around. And Bo Nix is just kind of being thrown into the fire. They have Zach Wilson. I don't know if Zach Wilson's going to be – a guy to start week one. I don't know if it's going to be Bo Nix, but I'm interested to see his career. He's not someone that overly excites me for fantasy just because we're starting to see weapons leave and future aspect, at least over the next couple of years, they're either paying Russell Wilson or paying because they don't have Russell Wilson. And so all that dead cap is money that's not going to be allocated towards future talent, at least in terms of free agents. So you got to hope that Denver figures out a way to build through the draft around him. But I'm not overly excited for Bo Nix. I think he fell in the right range going as quarterback six. I think taking him at 12 overall was very high. But also we figured out the Broncos are going to do whatever they want to do, and it's not going to make sense to anyone else but that front office. And so, you know, I'll take him as my QB six. I don't know exactly where I'd take him in a draft. It'd really have to be a feeling. But at the same time, he's the sixth quarterback off the board in a loaded quarterback class. I might take him before Penix just because he's going to, in our minds, be a
week one starter,
immediate starter. But at the same time, if I don't need someone to slot into my team immediately week one at quarterback, I'm taking him as QB six and just kind of seeing how the cards unfold or really hoping I'm in a league with an Oregon fan.
That's fair. That's fair. Now, Steve, I know you have a different appeal about Bo Nix here. Why don't you tell us why?
Yeah, I'm not over the moon for Nix, and I think they drafted him just because he was the last one. I don't know if they would have taken just anybody there or what that was, or if they had, you know, they traded it back, didn't they? Or am I misremembering that?
That's their pick.
No, they forced Minnesota to trade up.
Right. Right. Okay. Exactly. So maybe they would have gotten McCarthy if he was there. But I love, you know, that the last year that, you know, that Tyler mentioned, you know, when we're talking about what Bo Nix did for Oregon, I mean, obviously the stats that he put up, but, you know, you talk about the rushing ability too. I mean, he is, to me, a Justin Herbert light. That's the comparison. It's very, you know, easy, obviously, because of the school. And then you see, you know, they're going to both be in the AFC West. So I think he starts day one. I don't think there's a doubt about it. And I understand the negativity with the Broncos. I mean, there's not a lot to like. Cortland Sutton's probably out the door. So you look at it like it could be easily Josh Reynolds, Marvin Mims, and Troy Franklin, who comes in and I think is going to be very good. And I don't want to say too much because I'm going to have rookie drafts coming up and I don't want Steve taking Troy Franklin. No, I'm at the back of the third. If he's there, I'm baby. but I think it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a fun year actually for the Broncos. Or maybe not a fun year, but they could develop into it where they're going to just let him throw. They're going to let him run the ball. Marvin Mims is an exciting player. I think that Sean Payton drafted him for a reason. He wanted him to be on the field. It was a rookie season. He showed flashes. We'll see if he can really develop into something. Josh Reynolds is just a nice safety blanket that you brought in. And then Troy Franklin really can do everything, and he's going to be the number one. That's how I'm looking at it right now. They have the chemistry, obviously. I mean, it was basically Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs, like, from a few years ago, but the college version of that with the Oregon offense, it was Troy Franklin was open and Bo Nix got him the ball. If Franklin really can't get open, you know, we'll see. But I think with a lot of these zones, they're going to eat that up with a rollout to the right with Nix and Franklin getting open. So I think he's going to have some fantasy relevance this year. He's my QB3 actually off the board. It's one and two is obvious, but, you know, whatever you want to do at three. But I think that Nix actually has the upside where maybe May doesn't and maybe McCarthy doesn't either.
Old Coach John, big arm, Bo Nix plus speed of Mims and Franklin. It was big fantasy weeks. I like that, Coach John. But, yeah, Bo Nix is definitely interesting. The connection kind of makes sense for him to go there. It should have been in the second round, not in the first round, but this is how this draft went. QBs became an almost necessary thing for some reason for every team at this point, and they took him early. It was a bad move on that part, but he kind of fits what they want to do there in that offense there. Hopefully they can develop some players and get things going. They also have Tim Patrick. Hopefully he can kind of recover and make a rebound to his career.
Right.
But again, there's enough weapons there that Nix can be a borderline QB2 for you most weeks, hopefully. And we are getting him in rookie drafts right now. Outside of like one person I've known so far, he's a second round player, and getting basically a day one starter in the second round of Superflex leagues, you don't really hear that too often. The last one I remember really that happening was like Mac Jones. And again, well, that's a different situation, but Bo Nix, I think, is better than Mac Jones was, but you're getting a quarterback in round two of your rookie drafts that you can plug in probably for the season. If you're struggling at quarterback and you don't want to take a first round pick on a JJ McCarthy at the 1-9 or whatever, or if you're not ready for Michael Penix to sit for a couple years, Bo Nix is a good value right now in rookie drafts. As long as he stays in the second round, I'm pretty cool taking him. I took him in a couple of places already. But if he falls in that first round range, I'm kind of trying to avoid that situation at that point. I'd rather take a running back or one of these upside receivers at that point. All right, and then last but not least, the rest of the quarterbacks. And again, we talked about this in our quarterback preview. This is a very top-heavy quarterback class here. So only five other quarterbacks went off the board at this point. If you're not watching live on our YouTube channel, Spencer Rattler went in round five to the Saints. Jordan Travis also went in round five to the Jets. Joe Milton went to the Patriots, another quarterback they took. Devin Lairley went to the Baltimore Ravens, and Michael Pratt went over to the Green Bay Packers. Real quickly, guys, are anyone here that you're taking a shot on late in rookie drafts that you want to mention?
It would just be Rattler. I don't think anyone else is worth taking. The wild card could be Milton at like the last pick of the fourth round, but
that's fair.
I don't know if that's worth it.
Yeah, definitely Rattler really is the only one that I see with the opportunity to play. You know, Derek Carr has been kind of underwhelming in his time in New Orleans. You know, young, new toy to play with. Maybe they do something with him. Seen a lot of jokes about Joe Milton transitioning to tight end just because of how big he is. So he might be a waiver wire ad if you see New England start messing around during training camp.
Yeah, the Rattler is the only one I think so far of my rookie draft. We haven't got to the fourth round too much yet, but he was a fourth round pick. I mean, at that point, he's worth an ad.
Yeah.
I mean, Derek Carr hasn't really proved that he can be a great quarterback, and he hasn't done that. Did not do that well last year in New Orleans. So Rattler could have himself an opportunity. There are some people that really, really like Spencer Rattler in the NFL. I think it was the Broncos and Falcons I heard that they were super high on him. And if those quarterbacks they really wanted weren't there, Rattler might have been a first-round pick at one point. But he goes off the board in the fifth round. You know, Jordan Travis is definitely some interesting for me personally. I think with the Jets, him sitting there hopefully for the next couple of years behind Rodgers might help him out in his career. Because, you know, he could have been different if he didn't, you know, hurt himself during the season here. So we'll have to wait and see on that. But, yeah, really quarterbacks, if you're not getting one of the top six, everyone else is a waiver wire ad for the most part or fourth round pick. And of course, our promos, of course, you know, me and Coach Tyler, we work with Dynasty Nerds here. And if you want to know more about the prospects still, even though they're draftees now, want to know exactly what kind of talents they have, check out Dynasty Nerds. Use our promo code COACH. You know, you have access to the film room. You have access to some Dynasty Nerds podcast. You have access to the Dynasty Nerds GM, a fantastic tool for this time of year. If you're looking for your Dynasty League, trying to get an overview of what your league is like, who's got weaknesses, who's got strengths, it's a fantastic tool. So use the promo code COACH. And, of course, Didit, another great app there that I use a lot for fantasy football. I usually have it on most nights. And if someone has questions, we chat, we help them out, answer their fantasy questions, whether it's trades, drafting, whatever it may be. It's a great tool also to use to help you win some championships. So, and over to the running backs. We'll start here at the top. The first running back didn't go off the board until day two, and it was Jonathan Brooks at the 2.45 to the Carolina Panthers. Coach Steve, I'll let you go first on this. How do you feel about Brooks in Carolina?
I like it. Yeah. I mean, I would have liked anywhere for Jonathan Brooks. I just think that he is, you know, maybe the most prototypically sized running back, skilled running back in this class. He's not my favorite just the way the draft shook out of this group. But Jonathan Brooks can really do it all. The big concern, obviously, is the injury. They will use a committee in Carolina for the first year. So you might be a little bit disappointed. I could see it, you know, for folks being disappointed if he doesn't really get the work or if it's a slow start because of injury. But by the end of the year, it's going to be Jonathan Brooks. I think that he's going to be the better running back of the three.
I like it. Coach Todd, how do you feel? You feel similar on this?
Yeah. You know, Brooks was my running back one going into the class or going into the draft. I think that his draft capital, especially with the fact that he is, you know, rehabbing a torn ACL right now, just tells you everything that you need to know, at least about how Carolina felt about him. According to Jerry Jones, he was the best interview and prospect that he's seen in his entirety of an ownership, which is probably why he's with the Carolina Panthers, not the Dallas Cowboys. But I think as an overview for the running backs, you know, we knew that this wasn't going to be a very highly touted running back class. We see that with only one running back in the second round, and then we start to see him trickle in the third, fourth, fifth, onward. But I think Carolina is a great landing spot. I don't think any of these guys are going to be week one starters. So if you are holding picks, hoping that you're getting your week one guy to replace someone, you should have picked any other draft class. But I think Jonathan Brooks is in a good situation. You know, I feel like the Panthers did have a fairly good fantasy draft. You know, they boosted Bryce Young's stock. They added Xavier Leavitt beginning of the second round, or actually the end of the first round. They traded up.
They did.
You add Jonathan Brooks as your running back. They add a great tight end receiving wise in Jatavion Sanders. They really were just going from the University of Texas well right there. But Brooks was my number one, and he's continuing to be my number one. unless Benson, you know, beats out James Conner going into the season. As far as I see this offseason going, it's Brooks all the way, because he doesn't have really as much competition as a lot of these guys. I wouldn't call James Conner a lot of competition for Trey Benson, but we'll get into that in a second. Mm-hmm. But he just has really the clearest pathway to be a starter. And we talked about it with our running backs episode. You know, he just turned 21 years old, I think this month. And you knew coming off that torn ACL that it might take him this whole rookie year to sort of get back to the stride of what he was. But if I can take a guy with, you know, middle of the second round draft capital as the first running back taken off a torn ACL, and I just have to wait a year on him to be what he's supposed to be, I'm very happy taking that. And, you know, him being my RB1 and not being the week one starter in a class full of non-week one starters, nothing has moved the needle away from him for me.
Yeah, I was kind of disappointed at first when I saw this pick, Jonathan Brooks. I really wanted him to land it in a better situation along the bat. But the more I thought about it, you know, the Panthers, they're working in the right direction. Dave Canales, I really did like him as a coach. And I really think he is going to be successful with the Carolina Panthers here. The one thing we saw is that they really did like to implement a one-back system, and especially get passes out of the backfield to these guys here. I don't think Miles Sanders makes the roster. Honestly, I just don't see why keeping him on the roster makes sense. I'd rather take the cap hit. Chuba Hubbard is probably going to be the week one starter, and I think at some point during the season, Jonathan Brooks will take over. I think they have an opportunity to let him kind of ease into this starting job instead of having to rush him in week one, because Chuba Hubbard is a serviceable running back that can produce. But with Brooks, I mean, right now his ADP on my list here is he's the 12th player off the board. And if you're a contending team, you're looking for some kind of upside that could help you out in the second half of the season, I think Jonathan Brooks is worth taking if you're in need of running back. Again, better value if you get him in round two, absolutely. Especially if you're a rebuilding team, you get him at the 102, 103, whatever, 202, 203. You're making great value there. But as a contender, there's really not much in terms of running backs that you really want. Get a guy like Jonathan Brooks who has at least some appeal in 2024. All right, Coach Tyler, Trey Benson went at the third round to the Arizona Cardinals. Tell us if you like this or not.
Yeah, you know, Benson was my two, and that's exactly how he fell in the draft. I like the Arizona landing spot. You know, like I said, he has James Conner in front of him. James Conner, especially in his older age now, cannot seem to stay healthy for a full season. And he's going into the last year of a contract, if I'm not mistaken. Yes. So the stars are kind of aligning for Trey Benson to be another one of those, you know, wait a year and then you're getting that top guy, right? I say top as in, you know, probably top 12. He's going to be a starter on an NFL team in what's not going to be a committee as far as we know. I think that Arizona is going to continue to run through Kyler Murray, and that is the big thing with rushing quarterbacks is how much do they vulture. But Trey Benson is considerably larger than Kyler Murray, and I think with the health concerns that we've seen for Kyler Murray over the past couple seasons, they're going to want to be able to lean on those running backs. So they're going to lean on Connor early, but they're also going to throw Benson in there. I think he's going to be, you know, a week one 1B as opposed to a, you know, just week one outright starter. But I think he's going to see some decent touches in, you know, the beginning of the season. And there's a chance that he jumps Connor this year, especially if there's injury involved. But at the same time, he's another guy that I'm looking at to hold for a year. And then I'm going to have my guy, right? I'm going to have a starting running back. And sure, Hopefully he's learned and he's everything that he needs to be. And he's acclimated to the NFL and the system. But he was my RB2 going in. He's my RB2 now. He's fallen a couple picks behind Brooks. It really just depends. You know, you don't always want to draft for team needs. You want to draft talent. But at the same time, where the range that he's falling, you're looking at some pretty equitable talent in terms of receivers and running backs. And so I like Benson there if you need a running back. he's a guy that I could draft for need, not a reach, but I see a future for him.
That's fair. I like that. Coach Steve, how do you feel about Trane Benson? Where are you taking him in drafts?
I'd like to take him in the mid second. There's, you know, this Brooks, Benson, and Corum are all going to go mid second. And you're just kind of, you know, if you want to just take the last one, if you want to be the last of that chain, that I would think that's fine. If you really like one of these guys and you want to be the first, then maybe you would want to trade up to that 203 and make sure that you get your guy. But I like Benson as a prospect. He's obviously fast. The tape is great. He's shifty. He didn't really have a lot of opportunity last year to catch the ball, but you would think that, you know, being drafted by Arizona, they know that he has that profile. They needed a running back, first of all. They had nobody behind James Conner. I mean, it's
Amari DiMercato.
Thank you, DiMercato. And then Michael Carter, who he's okay, but, you know, he's just kind of a guy where Benson is not. I think Benson has a skill set. And I think that, you know, James Conner had his first 1,000-yard rushing season last year. So, you know, like I think the wheels will eventually fall off, but he's definitely the guy they're going to want to run through James Conner and just until those wheels fall off. But at least you have somebody who's competent behind him. I do think it's maybe weightier, but I could really see a world where like these three, Benson maybe is the disappointment.
On mute. That's fair. I like Benson. He was my RB2 coming out of this class here. I mean, there is an opportunity for him to be involved on this offense here. Like I said, James Conner is getting older. Last year of his contract, I think he is a better 2025 player. And he's going, if I'm not mistaken right now, if I had my spreadsheet up, which I don't for some reason already, he is going right now as the player 15 off the board. So you're looking at early round 2 capital right there for him. And again, if you're someone who's gearing up for 2025, you're a rebuilding team right now, Benson's a pretty good guy to have on your team because James Conner likely won't be there after this year. They don't really have anyone else in terms of elite talent or any kind of real talent out there that will really compete with Trane Benson. And everyone else is basically on 1-year contracts. So Trane Benson has a prime opportunity to do something good, whether it's not this year, in 2025. I like him. I like him in round 2. I think he's a good value there. Steve, you kind of get to my last point here between Blake Corum and Marshawn Lloyd, two players who, you know, I think a lot of people did like, but landed in backup jobs behind Kerryon Williams and Josh Jacobs, obviously, two players who were been elite fantasy running backs, at least portions of last season or the year before that. If you had to take one in drafts, are you kind of sticking to that approach, whatever one falls to me the latest?
I'm taking Corum. And I like Marshawn Lloyd a lot, and I think he's going to be very good. And the situation, the draft pick, I'm all about it. I think Marshawn Lloyd is a great pick in that second round. Of these four, he's usually the last one taken, and he gets into that third round. So I really like him and his value and just way like folks are kind of perceiving him to be maybe just like a depth piece where he's going to be better than A.J. Dillon. Like, there was once upon a time where I liked A.J. Dillon. I thought he was a good player. Those days are gone, all right? Just get it out of the way. Marshawn Lloyd is going to be the guy ahead of him. And then what if Josh Jacobs doesn't work? There's a real scenario where he's not even there next year. So I think that could be the case, potentially. And then you have this just young team. Just keep adding to this young team of Jordan Love with all these young receivers. And then you have Marshawn Lloyd potentially as the starter. So from that perspective, I think I just talked myself into like, I really like Lloyd in this rookie draft, but it's Blake Corum. I mean, he's my RB1 right now. And, you know, when I was on in February, it was like we were talking about dynasty running backs, disappointments or undervalues, overvalues. And I had Kyren Williams as my undervalue, right? And there was always this perception of Sean McVay just likes to use one guy and, you know, now it's Kyren. Well, he hasn't used just one guy since 2018. And, you know, we have to really just change that thinking. He wants multiple running backs until he finds the one he wants. And that was Todd Gurley back then, who was like a fantastic fantasy season. So, you know, Kyren did all the things. He really didn't stay healthy, and that's 2 years in a row now where the health was a concern. So you needed this depth. You couldn't just go in with Kyren Williams and Ronnie Rivers. So you get Blake Corum, who can do it all. He's basically Kyren Williams, but like drafted two rounds later, or maybe three rounds later. I forget when Kyren was drafted. But I think five. Right now, was it five?
Yeah, I think it was round five.
I think right now, like it might be hot takey, but I'm taking Corum ahead of these guys.
Interesting.
It's going to be Kyren and it's going to be Blake Corum. And I think they're going to 50-50 split it this year.
I like it. I like it. Coach Tyler, how do you feel between these two, Corum and Lloyd? Who are you prefer to take or not take?
Yeah, I'm taking Corum. You know, we go back and we think about, you know, Todd Gurley and then the Sean McVay offense. And it feels like every year there's always two guys that enter and it's kind of a Thunderdome situation, right? You're going to have a two back committee and then someone's going to emerge in the back half of the season. And we're going to go into the off season and be like, oh my gosh, they're the running back one for Sean McVay offense. And then the next year there's another running back added and they go at it. And then that next running back takes over, right? We saw it with Cam Akers, tears his Achilles. And then it's him and I think it was Daryl Henderson at the time fighting for that position. And then Henderson wins out, right? So Henderson goes in and he's fighting with position for or with Kyren, right? And then Kyren wins out. And so are we going to keep seeing the same trend that happens, right? Obviously, Kyren is being, or at least before the draft, he was extremely valuable piece to be holding, right? I saw him a lot of places as, you know, RB6, 7 in Dynasty. You get a good payday for an RB6 or 7 in Dynasty. And the addition of Blake Corum, especially with third round capital, just makes me feel like that battle is going to happen again, right? We're going to go into the season and everyone's going to say, you know, Corum's going to be the backup. It's going to be, you know, RB1 season for Kyren Williams. They're going to get to the bye week. There's going to be some stuff that happens and then Corum's going to start to see more and more snaps. That just seems like the system that the Rams are running here. And, you know, it's a system that's, you know, continually worked for them for the most part in terms of their running backs. Obviously, they like to find guys that get injured and that contributes to that battle a lot of the time. But this could be the year that stops it and taking Corum is a mistake because he's going to be a sole backup. Or we'll continue to see the trend and you'll go into next offseason with, you know, a top 12 running back because he's going to be the supposed number one running back in the Sean McVay offense. And then we'll have this battle and conversation again next year. So I'm taking Corum over Lloyd just for the fact of seeing the value as it is, the draft capital that he got on top of what I've seen in the past with the Rams offense. You know, we're talking about none of these guys being immediate contributors. If I'm just holding on to a piece and I know in my heart of hearts that next season he's going to be an extremely valuable asset that I can trade off of and let the Rams do whatever they want to do and either get, you know, first round capital back in a draft or add some players to my team that might be a little bit more solidified, I'm going to do that every day of the week. You know, sometimes you're going home run or strikeout, but, you know, in the back end of a draft where these guys are going to fall to you, that's really what you're trying to hit, right? You're trying to find your Puka Nakuas. You're trying to find those late guys that, you know, if they're on your taxi all year and you drop them at the end of the year because they're nothing, or they just stay on the end of your bench until you really got to make cuts, then that happens, right? But yeah. You're going to take the risk on a guy that is going to be a valuable asset for you to either trade off of or to hold and have on your team. And within that, I see Blake Corum gaining that value a little bit sooner than I do Marshawn Lloyd. But, you know, it's kind of a toss-up. It's more of a feeling for whoever it is, but I'm just looking at it from how I see the Rams.
That's fair. I like it. I like it. Yeah, I mean, I haven't had any capital in any of these guys yet or any shares yet of these guys in my drafts. I haven't. Blake Corum's going off at the 21st running player off the board. Marshawn Lloyd is going off the 26th. So you're looking at a late round two for Blake Corum, who I think will have his opportunities on the offense here. honestly, if, I don't want to talk about too much about the veterans. I told you I wasn't going to talk about Veterans Day, but I think it helps Kerryon Williams. We'll talk about that another day. But Blake Corum, you know, I hear he'll get his opportunity, I think, on the field. I think they show that they need a little bit of a bruiser in this offense here, and especially around the goal line at times. And I think Corum can do this for this team. I know he's a smaller guy, but he packs a punch. And I think his involvement on the Rams offense will be key. And if you're getting him in the back of round two and an offense that you knows anything can happen there at any time, like Corum is a guy that you want to take a shot on late round two. Marshawn Lloyd, Josh Jacobs' contract could be voided, not voided, but he could be cut as early as next year if things don't go well this coming season here. If he doesn't look good or he's got injured or whatever it is, he has an out in 2025. Marshawn Lloyd could easily be the day one starter in 2025. Probably won't happen, but he's definitely going to be very involved in this offense. His ability in the receiving game is definitely going to take some effect in this offense. Again, I think Corum will have obviously more involvement, but Marshawn Lloyd will have his work. But again, he's a better round three pick because I don't think his value is there in terms of being productive for fantasy this season. But again, this class was not that great. Obviously, we're looking at four running backs through for 2 days of drafting, and then the rest are day three. I'm about to talk about right now in the back half here. But yeah, unfortunately, if you thought running back was a group that you wanted to draft, it's you're looking at backups and you're taking shots. That's what it is, backups and shots. So that's going to start us off around four here. A lot of running backs went off around four here. Jalen Wright went to my Dolphins, which I loved. Will Shipley went to the Eagles. Isaiah Guerrero went to the San Francisco 49ers. Bucky Irvin went to the Bucks. Ray Davis went to the Buffalo Bills. And Braylon Allen went to the New York Jets here. Is there anyone here with these six running backs? Tyler, you can go first, that you're looking to attack in rookie drafts at all?
Jalen Wright is really the main one from this that excites me. You know, we saw Devon Achane deal with some injuries last year, a little bit of just his size and a little bit of the workload that he was getting. But we also saw Raheem Mostert, who had never stayed healthy in his career, stay healthy and end up with, I want to say it was 17 rushing touchdowns on the year.
Yes, no more, 18, 19.
Was it? However many, it was more in the 1 year than he scored in his like 5 year career.
Yes.
But he is getting older, right? And that may have been his Cinderella Jamal Williams year, right? We saw what happened to Jamal Williams this year. And Jalen Wright is a fast, big, strong running back, right? And so he's going to come to this offense in the way that McDaniels plays his two running backs. He's, I feel like, going to walk right into that Raheem Mostert role, but he has the ability to continue to push more and more into Achane's workload, right? We love Achane because of their 70-point game, and he scored all the fantasy points that anyone could ever score in that game. But at the same time, he's a guy who had size and injury concerns coming into the league. And we're seeing, you know, it's fourth-round draft capital, so it's not like they're going with, you know, the eighth pick overall or something. But this is a guy who's talented. He was high on a lot of people's boards. And just the way that the draft fell, there wasn't a run on running backs until, you know, the end of the third, beginning of the fourth. Like we see here, you know, we've got six running backs and what, 14 picks? Yeah. And I think this was all really just to spite the Cowboys because Jerry Jones wouldn't draft a running back at this point. But Jalen Wright's really the one that would excite me. I think his price is going to work in well to your drafts on holding him and seeing if he takes over that Mostert role. But I want to say Mostert's going to be 31 or 32 at the end of this year. 33 maybe. Yeah, even worse, right? And so for a guy that outside of a Cinderella year hasn't ever stayed healthy or hasn't ever been, you know, the major, major part of the offense, drafting a guy who could fill that mold for him, who's a pretty dang good running back, I think excites me for what he could be in Miami.
Excites me, that's for sure. Steve, is there anyone in this list here outside of Jalen Wright that, you know, has you wanting to take them in drafts at all?
Yeah, Wright would be the answer. But all of these guys are interesting for third, fourth round picks in rookie drafts. I think any one of them is fine for third or fourth round. I would say my favorite is actually Will Shipley, just because I think we're thinking, oh yeah, well, it's Saquon's job, and yeah, you know, Will Shipley is just a depth piece, but then I really believe he'll be the backup. Like, he'll be the, if you're, you know, if you have a deep redraft league, you could even take him if you really are, you know, drafting handcuff running backs. I would take Will Shipley as that guy. If Saquon is hurt for any reason, you know, he would come into a role where you just want that running back, right? I don't think Kenneth Gainwell did enough. He doesn't really have the size to be that kind of guy anyway. So I think that Shipley is pretty interesting for that reason.
All right, I like that. Of this list, again, everyone has some kind of thing to them that, like, oh, it's interesting, the willing to take in the third round. So far through my ADP that I am creating right now, there's four running backs that go in the top two rounds. It's the three in the first round minus Marshawn Lloyd, and Jalen Wright right now is the only other running back that goes at the end of round two. All these running backs here are round three, round four picks here. You can make a case for, you know, Irving to have a role with White, Ray Davis have a role with James Cook. Garrado is someone that you handcuff and hope that Chris McCaffrey gets hurt. And then he can have a chance in this amazing 49ers backfield. Braylon Allen, I mean, we don't want Breece Hall to get hurt either. But they drafted many running backs, and it makes no sense. But I wish he landed somewhere else. Like, switch Allen with Davis, please, or something like that. That would have been so much of a better option for us. But a lot of these running backs, like, they end up in situations where they're going to split time. Some of them have a chance better than others, but, like, none of them really stand out. And this is the fourth round. Is like, you're going to take your pick on a couple. Wright makes the most sense. Shipley are the top two guys in this area, but yeah. Round five here, five running backs off the board. Aldrick Estienne went to the Denver Broncos. Rasheen Ali went to the Ravens. Tracy Jr. went to the Giants. Keelan Robinson went to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Isaiah Davis went to the New York Jets. They took two running backs in this first five rounds for some reason, and they have Breece Hall and my boy Ziggy. Steve, anyone here stands out worth noting?
You really don't have to draft any of these guys, but if anyone is standing out is Rasheen Ali. He just, you know, being on this Ravens team, Mitchell, he's going to be hurt. Derrick Henry, obviously, is going to be the guy, but they like to use running backs in different roles. So maybe he could carve out a role for himself.
Sure. Coach Tyler, anything? Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I don't hate Estime to Denver. You know, like I talked about earlier, Javonte Williams hasn't been the healthiest running back in the world. And Estime was, at least analytically, a very consistent running back, right? Like, he was a very productive running back. That's the word I was trying to look for. At Notre Dame, especially this past season. And, you know, fifth round draft capital, he's not anyone that I'm really trying to draft. He's going to be, you know, they're all going to be waiver wire pickups, like Steve said. But, you know, if I can get the guy that's going to be sitting behind Javonte Williams, and, you know, it's almost expected at this point that Williams is going to miss some time during the year, Estime is a great backup to come in and kind of take over that role. Another guy I will mention, I've been working a trade through the beginning part of the show, and while I was looking on Sleeper, the most added player on Sleeper on their trending was Tyrone Tracy Jr.
Yes, I like
it. And that's because he's sitting in an offense that really, outside of their newly added Malik Nabers, lacks a ton of weapons. And they added Devin Singletary in the offseason, but Tracy has about as good a chance as any of the guys, at least on the screen right now, to end up on the field, right? Maybe they use him as some kind of hybrid just because they only draft like 5'9" receivers and they're all hurt. Or he goes in to sort of relieve some of the pressure on Devin Singletary, but he's a guy that could see the field early, especially for a fifth round pick. And he's going to be a guy that, as long as everyone's not looking at the trending on Sleeper, he should be a fairly easy add to get. So if you've got space on that taxi, he's a guy to throw on there and see, you know, if anything materializes.
Yeah. Tracy was definitely a guy I was going to mention as well. If you're looking for kick return yards, if this happens, Keelan Robinson is a fucking track star on the field, especially with these new kick return rules. I don't know if he makes a Jacksonville roster. I don't know why they drafted a fifth round player when they have a lot of running backs there in Jacksonville, but this man can give him the ball and let him just run it. Yeah, magic happens. And then finally, the sixth round. There was no running backs drafted in the seventh round. It's these last 6 years. Kiami Vidal went to my guy I like in the draft here went to the Chargers, which is a great landing spot. Chase McClellan went to the Falcons. Jarrah Jordan went to the Texans. And Dylan Lube went to the Raiders. Anyone here, I mean, that you guys see? You know, I like Vidal. I think him at worth as an ad in the late third round, to me, makes a ton of sense. That's where he's going.
See, I feel like Vidal is – I feel like that's just such a full running back room with the previous Ravens running backs. We'll see what happens with J.K. and his Achilles. Jordan interests me not only as a Texans fan but as a fantasy manager. You know, Damian Pierce just fell off the face of the earth last year. No one really expected it to happen. But, you know, coming out of his rookie year, I want to say he was an RB2 in fantasy his rookie season. And he came out and everyone was expecting Houston to really run behind him. And, you know, I'm not even going to call it a sophomore slump because calling it a slump would be generous. He was the one returning kicks at one point in the year. He actually took one back for a touchdown. That's why I remember that so vividly. But Jordan was really a home run hitter when he was at Louisville, right? He's got speed. He's got this big play ability. And Joe Mixon was he was used very diligently, we'll say, in Cincinnati. And so I think Houston, and especially the system that we saw last year with Slowick, they like to use, obviously, their main back, but they work a second back in there just because of how much they run the ball and all the different systems that they do. But Jordan has a pathway to overtake Damian Pierce for that backup running back job. You know, he is a six-round pick, but who cares when you can make big things happen? And so, you know, I will say the best running back in Houston Texans history, Arian Foster, was an undrafted free agent. So looking at Jordan and saying that it's out of the realm of possibility that he overtakes that as a six-round pick is a non-zero probability. But he's just a home run hitter. They use multiple backs. And so he's a guy that, you know, he's a very, very deep stash for me with the talent, especially at receiver and kind of that top end of tight end and quarterback this year. But if I have a spot for him, he's not a guy that I would hate to see turn into something. He could be kind of this year's Keaton Mitchell.
There's your in-depth Houston Texans guy analysis right there. Steve, anyone here that you want to mention?
I could actually see for like all of these six round picks, I could actually see like a need and a role for all of them. Yeah. Funny enough, like when I look at it, but Vidal is like a faster Devin Singletary. If we think that J.K. Dobbins is done, then really it's just Gus Edwards. I mean, there's a path there that we know they want to run the ball. It's the only running back they drafted. There's a chance he might not even make the team. We'll see which three running backs. They're probably going to keep more than three. So I would think that he does make the team with Jim Harbaugh's first running back that he picks, right? So you have that going for him. So I really believe that there is a path there for him to have a role. And if he's good, then it's a really good role that you want in your fantasy running back.
That's fair. That's why I like him. That's why he's someone who I'm taking in the third round everywhere if I can. And that's really it. That's all we have for you guys tonight. Michael Gallup just signed with the Raiders, so that's fun. But not going to really break that down too much because why would we want to break that down? They already have enough weapons that aren't going to be good for us in fantasy. But we'll talk about that during the season here. Coach Steve, how'd you like your first episode as an official coach?
Good, man. Yeah, I'm excited for all these rookie drafts. I mean, this was a great primer for that. So, you know, I hope you guys pulled some good information. Hit me up on Twitter at FFProfessorSD3 if you have any questions about these rookies. Yeah, I mean, we really didn't talk about the receivers today, but the receivers are the most interesting part of this class. That's really where the talent is. So I think that, you know, if you have, you know, a rookie pick, you probably want to prioritize some of these receivers mostly.
That's fair. Coach Tyler, anything you want to say?
Yeah, you know, use code coach at Dynasty Nerds. It's obviously very fun to finally have landing spots and jump into stuff. So excited for what's ahead throughout the offseason as we get into rookie drafts and then prep for our season.
Yeah. And again, guys, we thank you all for tuning in, whether you're listening live on our YouTube channel right now at the Fantasy Coaches, or if you're listening live afterwards on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever you listen to your podcast, we definitely appreciate it. Either way, we just want you guys to listen to us so we can help you guys win some championships. Special this week, we will be back on Thursday. We have to do the second half of the wide receivers and tight ends, because if we wait a whole nother week, you guys might be all done with your rookie drafts by then. So next Monday we'll be back. We'll do a rookie draft. But this Thursday we're going to do an extra show this week here to give you guys some more breakdowns. So if you like this running back and quarterback, you're going to love the tight end and wide receiver as well. So we thank you all for listening. Tune in till next time, guys, and have a good one.
Back to back is not far-fetched. We got a couple of claws.